Please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter to the Ephesians, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 15, Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And our subject this evening is a peaceful zeal. A peaceful zeal. Well, we continue with our series in the letter to the Ephesians, and of course we are more specifically focusing on the armor of God at the present time, the spiritual armor, the invisible armor, which we must put on to fight an invisible enemy. We have an invisible enemy who is very powerful, and an enemy we cannot defeat without putting on this armor. And so we have begun looking at each piece of the armor in turn, and we remind ourselves that each piece is to be put on. Not one piece can be left out. The whole armor must be applied, the full panoply, as it were. And when we think of these things, perhaps this is the reason why we slip and slide and are so inconsistent in our Christian lives. Because is it not the case that some days, some weeks, some periods in our lives, we can be very strong, perhaps with the breastplate of righteousness, but we don't have the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Or sometimes we can be strong in faith, taking the shield of faith, and yet we neglect the helmet of salvation and all that that means and entails for us. So perhaps this is why, if we struggle so often and so consistently in our Christian lives, we are not embracing the Christian life as fully as we ought to. We are not taking every piece of the armor and applying it. And so this is a great principle for us. And last week we considered the breastplate of righteousness. And just to remind you very briefly, it was a vital piece of armor. It covered and protected the vital organs. If you were hit anywhere else in the leg or the arm, well, perhaps you could survive, but the upper part of the body, the upper torso, if you were injured in that area, well, it was most likely a mortal wound, a wound that you would not walk away from. And so this emphasized the importance of the breastplate of righteousness, because if we do not have righteousness, if we are those who are caught up in wickedness or in sin, well, that so often deals a mortal blow to our Christian lives, to our Christian witness. Nobody will take us seriously ever again if we do not wear that breastplate of righteousness, that holiness which keeps us safe. And righteousness, well, we mentioned how it not only preserves our life and our witness, it is our life. When we think of what life is, we are not like the world. The world thinks that to live is to sin and to break the rules and to do crazy things. But for us, to live is righteousness. It is to live a holy life. That is life in its purest sense, because we are those who, of course, will spend eternity in a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. When we think of heaven, we think of perfect life, but it's perfect life because it is righteousness. And so to wear the breastplate of righteousness, it is to live, it is to embrace life in its fullest sense. And the breastplate covers the heart, of course, and we are to love righteousness because we love the Lord. We're not holy, we don't pursue after holiness because we're doing it out of obligation or to earn anything. We're doing it because we love the Lord. The breastplate covers the heart, And so when we do that, which is in obedience to God, it is out of love for God, out of sincerity, out of truth, not as the Pharisees did. Our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes because we love the Lord. And so all of these things were tied up with the breastplate of righteousness. But now we come to verse 15, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is the footwear for every Christian soldier. But before we talk specifically about the feet, let us just focus on what is written at the end of that verse, the gospel of peace. The gospel is, of course, all about peace. Faith in Christ. When we have faith in Christ, well, it brings peace. And Christ is described and presented to us as peace in the prophecies. We could name a number of prophecies, but perhaps the most well-known, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, when he is given that title, of course, Prince of Peace. When the Messiah comes, he will bring wonderful peace. When the angels announced his birth in Bethlehem, remember what they declared. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There is to be peace toward men now that Christ has come. Now that Christ has come, there is that opportunity to end your warfare with God. Man in his sinful state, he is a rebel against God. We are by nature born rebels. We are fighting with God, but the Lord has sent Christ so that we may have peace, bring an end to this war. And as I say so often in evangelistic messages, peace always comes at a cost. Shed blood when there is peace after war. It is because soldiers have died. It is because soldiers have shed their blood. And we remember this, Remembrance Sunday every year. We remember those who shed their blood so that we may have peace in this land and nation. Well, it's the same in the gospel. We have peace with God. Why? Because Christ's precious blood was shed to make peace in that war between man and God. How was it ended? Christ had to shed his precious blood, and now peace is secured. It has been purchased by Christ and by his atoning work. And so when we put our faith in him, he gives us that peace with God. And also, of course, he gives us that peace that we cannot find in this world. Man in his wanderings cannot find peace on earth. He goes from one thing to another, from one entertainment to another, from one location to another. He cannot find peace. But Christ, of course, gives us that peace that the world cannot give. And we read this earlier in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Lord says there is a peace that the world cannot give. Not as the world giveth. Try as you might, the world simply cannot give you this peace. Only I can give this peace that I leave with you. So this is in great contrast to the world. The peace of this world, so fleeting, so deceptive. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. The peace in this world, you cannot trust. You see, even on the news, even recently, countries making peace treaties. Can you trust them? Can you trust that they're going to keep that peace? So often they don't. The peace treaties, they're broken in 2 days, perhaps even less. This piece of the gospel you can trust. It's a peace that is given to us. You can trust it. And so it gives us peace as believers in our lives, peace in our soul. It's the only place we can find peace. Where is the place where we know that everything will be well for us? Everything will be okay. Where is the peace where we know that all things will work together for good? It's only in Christ. Only in Christ. So we have to mention this because we so often forget these things. The gospel of peace. And now this peace, if we start to apply it to this verse, this peace is vital if we are to engage in this warfare. So it seems like a contradiction. Of course it isn't. But this peace is vital if we are to engage in this spiritual warfare. Now, sometimes again, if you look at the world and recently in the news, sometimes people will say that in order to keep peace, we must prepare for war. We've heard that quite recently, some of our politicians. In order to keep peace, we have to prepare for war. But this is the opposite. In order to fight the spiritual warfare, we must first have peace with God, or else we cannot fight. We cannot fight this spiritual warfare if we do not have peace. So the first question, of course, that I present to you, do we have peace with God? That's the first requirement. Do you truly have peace with God? Do you have that assurance that you are not fighting against God, that you are not rebelling against God? You now have peace. Do you know that you are truly saved? We cannot fight. We cannot even begin to put on this gospel armor if we don't have that peace with God, that assurance. Pray for assurance if you don't have assurance. Pray for faith. Assurance really is believing. Believing in what the Lord has said in his word. That's what assurance is. There's a part you have to play. God has declared something. You must believe it. And you must not let any doubts and fears enter in. You must be sure that you are truly saved. Peace with God, that's a prerequisite. You must have, and I've mentioned this before, you must have peace with God's word. Not thinking that any part of God's word is questionable or immoral or old-fashioned or embarrassing. There are some people who say they are Christian, professing Christians, but they are clearly ashamed of the word of God. They're not at peace with the word of God. And they would never point people to the word of God because they themselves, they are not at peace with the word of God. How are you going to fight the spiritual warfare if you yourself are not at peace with everything that God has declared? It's impossible. You must be at peace with everything that the Lord has revealed to us. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of sin, to speak of sin, not ashamed to speak of repentance, not ashamed to speak of the judgment to come. You must be at peace with these things because you know that they are right and they are true and they come from the Lord. Only then, once you are at peace with all of these things, only then will you be able to fight. Only then will you have that zeal for the Lord and for the gospel. And really, when we think about what it is to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, really this is speaking about zeal and readiness. Are you ready? When you have your shoes on, even in the modern way of thinking, well, you are ready to go out. If you don't have your feet on, your shoes on, you are already at a disadvantage. If you are to do anything, if you are to be active, to head out into the world, you must have your feet shod. And this is speaking about readiness, zeal, the feet shod. The Roman soldier, well, he had his footwear very close to him, very important to him. The Roman sandal was, a vital piece of the armor, a vital piece of their whole warfare, responsible for so many of their victories that they were able to travel long distances in half the time, caligae, as they are occasionally known. And it showed readiness. The Roman soldier was always ready. Are we ready? Again, this is a second question. How ready are we? Are we always prepared? Prepared for the battle against Satan, of course. We've mentioned that in recent weeks. I won't go into detail on that again. But not just to defend ourselves against Satan, but to advance with the gospel. Are we always ready to witness? Are we always ready to take that opportunity to speak to others of the Lord? Are we praying for these opportunities so that we will be ready when they come? Remember what Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 3 and verse 15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Are you ready? If somebody was to ask you a question about the gospel, about what it is to be saved, would you know how to answer them? Would you be ready? If they had even trickier questions, how well do you know the Christian faith? How well do you know Christian theology? Now, I'm not asking you to be a scholar, but I'm asking you to know or to preempt the kind of questions that people have, that your relatives might have, that your friends may have. Are you ready for these answers? We must be ready. We must have our feet shod, as it were. It speaks about readiness and being prepared to share the gospel. Willingness also is a great part of it. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, its readiness and willingness, which is slightly different. And we can apply that perhaps more generally. How willing are we to do the Lord's work? You know, it is very common, I think, that we can be engaged in service, and we can be engaged in a lot of service, but we can be engaged very unwillingly. We're not really willing to do what the Lord has laid before us and to do what is necessary. But willingness is such a beautiful thing. We must be willing. We must pray for willingness. It's always a wonderful thing, particularly as a pastor, or perhaps even speaking on behalf of the deacons, if you ask somebody to do something, they are so willing. There's none of this grumbling or reluctance or the dragging of the feet. This is part of what it means to have the feet shod. Readiness and willingness. And it goes without saying that our service is easier if we are willing. If we are unwilling to do something, well, then our service is always a lot harder. It's always a lot tougher to get through. It becomes a great chore, because what's the difference? It's actually in ourselves. It has very little to do with the work that we're engaged in. You could have any sort of job, any kind of work, but it's yourself, your own attitude. Are you willing to do this? It will be relatively easy. If you're not willing to do it, it will always be hard, even if it's a small thing. It's the willingness in you. So we have to have this attitude, readiness and willingness. The Roman soldier, he had to be willing, of course. They wouldn't have won anywhere near the amount of battles they did win if they were all unwilling. We must be willing, and willingness makes our work easier. But it's the feet shod with the gospel of peace. Let us try and focus a bit more on peace as we go through these points. We don't have that much time left. But the gospel of peace, our feet shod with the gospel of peace. This speaks to us of how we can have peace in all the trials and difficulties that we face as Christian people. When the Roman soldier would go out on his battle, well, he was able to go over any terrain, even if there were rocks and uncomfortable terrain and briars and thorns. The sandal protected him from this. He was able to overcome the uncomfortable terrain. He was able to get over all the obstacles. And so this teaches us, of course, when we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we too, we are to know peace in our various trials and difficulties, in those times of crisis, in those times of sickness, in those times of loss, in those times of great personal shame, perhaps, we can overcome these things because we have that peace within us. It helps us to overcome all the things that may attack us. William Gurnall, that great commentator who wrote extensively on the Christian armor, he said this: "Can any stone hurt thy foot through so thick a sole?" The Roman sandal had a very thick sole. It was sometimes embedded with nails. And so even painful things couldn't get through. "Can any stone hurt thy foot?" Their foot was, in a sense, impervious to pain because the sandals were such a protection. And so it's the same with us. We have such peace in our hearts that even though we have to go through difficult things, can these stones hurt us? They won't when we have peace with the Lord. And we have peace with the Lord's will. Whatever he sends us, we won't grumble, because we know, first of all, that God is sovereign. We know that the God who has saved us, well, he has sent this thing into our lives, not to crush us, not to break us, but to make us stronger. All things work together for good, remember? So when these things happen to us, we don't grumble. We have peace. We see these things in the right way. And of course, we consider Christ. You know, we always have the gospel in our heart and in our mind. Otherwise, we cannot have peace. When we think of how much Christ had to suffer for us in the gospel, when we think of his agony, his pain, when we think of his persecution, when we think of his sadness at times at the sin of all those around him, when we think of how he was betrayed, when we think of his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, we consider his sufferings, and that puts our sufferings into perspective. When we think of how much Christ has suffered, he suffered so much for me, a sinner. Well, now I can have peace with my sufferings. Because he has suffered so much, my sufferings are nothing to me. I can be at peace. So we remember the gospel. It's the gospel that gives us peace. And so this is all part of what it means, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We submit to the Lord's will. And by the way, just to add this point, I mentioned about going forth with the gospel. We submit to the Lord's will even in our gospel work. You know, we work as hard as we can, and we must. We're as zealous as we can, and we must, of course. We have just made this point. But, you know, we are at peace, even if we don't see any fruit. We don't panic. We know that the Lord is over everything. We're at peace. It's his kingdom. He will gather in all his elect. Even if we don't see any fruit, even if we are discouraged at the doors, even if we don't see as many youngsters come in, do we despair? Do we start accusing each other? This is sometimes what happens in churches. Oh, it's your fault that this person isn't saved. Oh, it's your fault that the church isn't growing. You know, when you don't have peace, you start accusing other people. Oh, it's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. This is why the church is struggling. But we ought to have peace even in our gospel work. If we don't see any fruit, we don't start turning on each other. We don't get carried away when we do see fruit. We're always at peace. We have a sober mind, and we submit to the Lord's will in all of these things. So many applications I could make. Contentedness, dear friends. Contentedness, when you think of the gospel, we already have everything that we could need in the gospel. Even if God gave us nothing else in our lives, even if God never answered our temporal prayers, even if we did not receive the things that perhaps we hoped for in this life, We already have everything that we need in Christ. And so sometimes it's a good thing to do, to come before the Lord and say, Lord, even if you don't answer these my prayers, and even if I have to struggle on in this world, I'm at peace because I have Christ, and because I have everlasting life, and because I've been saved by grace, and because I've been changed, you've changed me, and I'm not without hope in this world. I have an eternal hope. Lord, it is enough, contentedness. We have peace in the Lord. So these things we call to mind. We put these things on. We practice these things. And we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One last point before we close. The Roman sandal, as I've already mentioned, enabled the soldiers to walk long distances. And they would not stop walking until they had got to their destination. And so, well, the application for us is very obvious. To put on these sandals, this footwear, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, is we must continue working and striving to the very end. This is speaking about longevity. We must keep serving the Lord. We must keep fighting against sin. We must keep looking for opportunities for the gospel until the very end of our days, until we stop walking this earthly pilgrimage. We must have our feet shod with this gospel. We serve the Lord. And if you get to a certain age where perhaps you can't do the evangelism, you can't do the Sunday school work, well, then you change tact. You become a prayer warrior and you pray without ceasing unto the Lord. You don't stop. Sometimes you meet Christians, they almost, it's like they've retired. Oh, I've done my walking with the Lord. I've done my battling. Now I can just rest. This isn't the teaching of Scripture. Yes, we know in the world people retire and they put their feet up and the rest of the time is for themselves. But we must have our feet shod all the time until the very end of our days. Longevity. These sandals will never wear out. And so we do our very best. We keep going to the very end. And of course, in connection with this, the Lord will keep us to the very end if we are saved. If we are truly saved, well, you know the doctrine. It's the perseverance of the saints. The Lord will keep us until the very end. We will never fall from grace. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's a guarantee that you will be kept until the very end. The Lord has given you this gospel. He has given you peace in your heart. So you can know that he will never forsake you. He will never forget you. This is the peace that we have. And this is what keeps us going. The perseverance of the saints. He holds us in his hand. He will never let us go. So all of these things, dear friends, I had one or two more items. But in this heat, I think there is plenty for us to apply and God willing to be comforted by. May the Lord help us in our pilgrim journey.